Today we ask you to hear us, Lord. In a time of unrest and uncertainty, we ask for your holiness. Search our hearts, renew our minds, and help us love like you love us. Use us to do your will on this earth. Make us holy.
Today we ask that you restore us, gather up the bits and pieces of our souls, and mend them with your loving hand. Search out those parts that we tried to hide from you. Today, God, we invite you in. Our faith is in you. We trust you. May we be holy.
Good morning.
Whoa.
Wait, better now? Okay. Good morning. My name is Pastor Claire Douglas, and I'm so excited to be here with all of you this morning. Welcome to Concordia United Methodist Church. I've got a couple of announcements. Please join us for coffee directly after the worship service, except if you are on the finance committee, because our finance meeting is today and not on Tuesday. So we'll see you there. I'm so happy to be joined by the youth this morning. This is my first youth worship service, so I hope you all will walk me through it. I know that Lou has an announcement for us. Yes, there you are. What a wonderful ministry of this church, and what a great way to meet people and to bring people some joy in life. John, where did you just go to? I know that you're my next one. Are there any other announcements before John starts? Because he's going to show us a video.
We're going to show another video today of Stephen Ministries. We're getting up. We're getting ready to go. But if there's anybody else that feels the Spirit is leading, we would still welcome you and take you in. But it's getting very close to when we're going to be start training the ministers. This is just another example of what Stephen Ministry can do.
You know, February the 6th, 1991, is a day that I'll never forget. It's the date when I discovered our 18-year-old son, Denny, had died in his sleep. My world was turned upside down. It was me and my whole family struggled for years to find a new normal. To be honest, my life was a mess as I struggled with my anger toward God and my feelings of total despair. People would often come to me and ask me how my wife Beulah and Andy were doing. And I wondered when someone would come and ask how I was doing. And then one day it happened. Ed Downs came to me and said, "Dennis, I want to meet you at Jumpin' Catfish." And so we met there, and after we'd ordered our food, he turned looked me straight in the eye and he said, "Now, Dennis, I want to know how you're doing." You know, I can still remember the kindness in his eyes when he showed a sincere interest in me and what I was going through. And across the years, I've come to realize how important it is to have someone to journey with us when we go through the valleys, the tough times. And as pastors here at the church, we have people coming in nearly every day with stories that can break your heart. People who have just received the diagnosis of cancer, stories of unemployment, sadness because a loved one has died. We hear stories of divorce and we see the pain on the faces of those who have been rejected by someone who once loved them. Well, the list goes on and on. And sometimes as pastors, we feel like firemen, just running from one fire to another. To be honest, we need help with dealing with some of the tough things that life throws at us. However, I often hear people say, "I want to help, but I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do." We have a wonderful ministry here at the church called the Stephen Ministry. And in this ministry, Stephen Ministry is matched up one-to-one, a man with a man, a woman with a woman. And the Stephen Minister is given 50 hours of training, and then we commission them, and then we assign them to one of these hurting people. And you meet with them at least an hour a week. We provide excellent training so that you know how to be a good listener, and you know how to deal with the grief of the person that you're with. You learn what to say and what not to say. Stephen ministers are not therapists, but they know how to be fully present with people in a confidential way. Across the years, I've noticed that those people who have gone through the hard places, they're the ones who are best able to help those who are going through them now. So if you've been wounded by some of the tragedies of life, I hope that you will consider taking this training so that you too can be a part of this Stephen ministry team. And that you too can become a wounded healer. I encourage you to stop by the table, pick up that packet, talk to one of our Stephen ministers, and then pray about this matter. This may be just the ministry that you've been looking for.
Please join me in our call to worship printed on the screen. Our God is a God of power and strength. God has created each of us with tender care. Our God is a God of majesty and awe. Our God is a God of glory and wonder. God loves each of us with passion. Our God calls us each by name. God calls each of us to unite and worship together. Please join in singing Sanctuary, number 2164 in the black hymnal. The words are also on the screen above. We will sing through one time. Please join me in our opening prayer, printed on the screen above. Holy God of glory and majesty, you have called us by name. We pray in this moment for the courage and strength to answer your call. As we open our ears to hear your message this morning, open our hearts also. Inspire us in this time of worship. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a special moment. All right. Have you guys heard of a guy named John Wesley? Yes? No? Maybe? Kind of? So, I'll take kind of. So John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church. So he kind of came up with who we are as Methodists. And Methodist is the denomination that we are in today. And he was a very persistent guy. And he did not always preach in church. He believed in sort of preaching out into the community. And so this is an imagining of what his diary might have been like. So he writes, Sunday, a.m., May 5th, preached in St. Anne's, was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday, p.m., May 5th, preached in St. John's, deacon said, get out and stay out. Sunday, a.m., May 12th, preached in St. Jude's, can't go back there anymore either. Sunday, p.m., May 19th, preached on the street, kicked off the street. Sunday, a.m., June 2nd, preached out at the edge of town, kicked off the highway. Sunday, p.m., June 2nd, afternoon, preached in a pasture, 10,000 people came out to hear me. And he believed that we don't just learn about God in church, and that church needed to come to you. And so he was willing to preach anywhere and everywhere, and I forget how many times he preached, but it was thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of times, many more than I ever will in my lifetime. That he preached in order to help people experience church outside of the walls of the church. And so what we do in our actions can help take us out of this space and can help find people who need to hear God's message in a pasture or on a street and helps us be persistent. Kind of cool, huh? He's a weird dude. Cool dude, too. Will you pray with me? Repeat after me. And congregation, will you join us in the repeat after me prayer? Holy God, help us to be persistent and to bring your message to anyone who needs to hear it. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Psalms 29. The voice of God in a great storm.
Ascribe the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name, worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters, the God of glory thunders, the Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful, the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and sirloin like a young wild one. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strip the forest bare. And in his temple all say, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace.
This is a reading from Peter, chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, a call to holy living. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct, for it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy."
Being in a Methodist church, I always like to get a little John Wesley in every once in a while. This is a nice little John Wesley sermon. He'll be mentioned in the latter part of that, so you can watch for him. He really was an interesting guy. He was very, very devout. Was very much into thinking about how he could be reaching out into the world constantly, which is one of the things that I really love about him and really love about Methodism. I went to a Presbyterian seminary. I went to Princeton Theological Seminary, and one of the big differences between Presbyterians and Methodists, there are many, but one of them is that the Presbyterians have a systematic theology, and so they look at the way that they view God through sort of how things are patterned and through some big books that were written by Calvin, who formed the Reformed Church, whereas the Methodist Church looks at everything through mission. And it wasn't until I got into missional theology that I really started to understand the way that the Methodist Church works. So we're all about our actions in the world, and I hope that you'll see that in today's sermon. Will you pray with me? Holy Lord, fill this space with your presence. Lead our thoughts and prayers to help us be holy as you are holy. In your holy name we pray. Amen. I meant well. We've all said that, haven't we? I meant well. Yet in that horrible moment as I stood on a field, staring at 200 pairs of shocked eyes in a homemade dog costume, I could only wonder where I had gone wrong. It began during my first term in AmeriCorps. I was signed to work for Cradle Beach Camp, but during the school year, I spent most of my time as a classroom assistant at a public school. I was fresh off of my third summer as a summer staff member for Pine Lake Camp here in Wisconsin, and camp had seeped into my blood. So when summer finally began and the camp season begun, I was as excited as the kids to be back in my element. Every evening at Cradle Beach Camp, they sponsor an all-camp activity, and one favorite all-camp activity is the county fair. Each cabin is given a list of activities that might be found at a typical county fair. And each camper and each counselor is required to participate in at least one activity. There's a potato sack race and a watermelon eating contest. There's a three-legged race and a pie eating contest. But one of the favorite events at the county fair is the dog training contest. Since actual dogs are not allowed on camp property, the dog training contest requires two people, one to be the dog trainer and one to be the dog. Now, one of my hidden talents in life is that I happen to be able to bark convincingly like a dog. I don't know how my campers had discovered this hidden talent, but they had, and they immediately and unanimously voted me to be our cabin's dog. A camper was chosen to be my trainer, and we set out to create a routine of dog tricks. While we were working, I suddenly came up with a brilliant idea. If I was going to be a dog, clearly I needed a costume. Now, at the camp I had worked at for the previous three summers, costumes were a part of camp culture. Many weeks we would have themed weeks where we dressed up as pirates or superheroes. And even if a specific camp did not call for a costume, all the counselors dressed up in costume on Tuesdays just for fun. I figured if there was going to be a dog training contest, there would be at least a few dog costumes as well. So my trainer and I got busy in the craft cabin, and we produced a set of ears and a tail and some spots to tape on the outside of my clothes to make me look like a Dalmatian. My camper and I were both excited right up until the moment that I walked up to the field of bleachers that contained the 200 campers and counselors of Cradle Beach Camp and realized there was not a single hint of a dog costume from any other cabin. I looked over my shoulder and was already calculating the distance back to my cabin to throw on anything that was not a dog costume and that would not embarrass me in front of the campers and coworkers. When the little girl who was my dog trainer looked up at me with big eyes and said, "You're not going to take it off, are you, Miss Claire?" "No, of course not," I said. And I squared my shoulders and took a seat on the bleachers next to my cabin. Well, I did it. I got up in front of 200 people, and I barked, and I sat, and I rolled over. And the funniest part of this whole story is, even though I was the only one in costume, I didn't win the dog training contest. I lost. I got carried away. Don't we all? I didn't just want to perform in the dog training contest. I really wanted to do the dog training contest right. I was so focused on going all out and being the best dog in the contest that I lost sight of what was going on around me until it was too late. I ended up feeling discouraged and embarrassed. It was hard for me to recover my enthusiasm for the remaining week of camp. Our lives in Christ can be like that sometimes. We're so focused on doing what is right, we lose sight of what is really important. We want to go all out and be the very best at everything, and when things do not turn out the way we expected, we get discouraged and lose our way. During my last semester of college, I took a class on water rights and conservation in the southwestern United States. I was a geology major, so that made some sense. This class, like several others I took while working towards my degree, was an inherently depressing class. The situation in the southwestern United States boils down to this. No matter how you try to cut it, there simply isn't enough water, and something is going to suffer. But my professor managed to frame the attitude of the class on the first day using one of the most amazing activities I have ever seen. He came in and walked up to the front of the classroom and proceeded to draw a straight line down the middle of the whiteboard. Then he drew a second zigzagged line across the first one he had drawn. He told us that one side of the board represented the positive things that we do every day in our lives for the environment, and the other side represented the negative, and the zigzagged line represented our daily actions. He explained that every day we all do things that are environmentally friendly and things that are harmful for the environment. He pointed to one side and said, for example, I love to travel, but it consumes large amounts of fossil fuels in the process. Then he pointed to the other side of the line and he said, I also water my garden with rainwater I've collected. Lots of us get caught up in the feeling that we can't be perfect enough. We're not able to do everything, and we get overwhelmed and like someone coming off an attempt at a strict diet, we figure if we can't do everything, it's not worth doing anything at all. But the important thing is to continue to do little things every day that fall on the positive side of the line. It wasn't that my professor was completely uninterested in identifying the problems that fell on the negative side of the line. In fact, we spent much of the class doing just that. It was that he wanted us to understand that when push came to shove, what's important isn't complaining about problems, it's solution generation. Sometimes our lives in Christ can feel equally overwhelming. The idea of trying to be fully, perfectly Christ-like all the time is so overwhelming to us we end up paralyzed and do nothing. We feel we should be able to pray every single day, read our Bibles, and volunteer for all the new projects at church. What's most important is not to strive to make sure that all of our life decisions fall on the positive side of our zigzag lines, but that we make a conscious effort to do something every single day. In the Bible passage today, Peter issues us a challenge to be holy, a challenge to give our lives completely to God and to be Christ-like in all our actions. Peter writes, therefore prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Holiness is a Herculean feat. Being holy in all your conduct every day at every moment sounds overwhelming to say the least. But Peter gives us a hint as to where to start by writing, therefore prepare your minds for action. The author tells us that the first step towards holiness is action. No one understood this better than a young British student named John Wesley. In 1720, at the age of 17, he received the opportunity to study at Oxford University, beginning the journey towards his eventual ordination in the Anglican Church. It was at Oxford that John Wesley joined with a small group of students devoted to meeting together, praying, studying scriptures, and keeping each other accountable in their holiness. John Wesley kept meticulous daily journals of all of his activities, and soon the other members of the Oxford Methodists began to follow suit. In fact, the name Methodist was originally coined to make fun of their method of careful daily accounting. In addition to meeting for Bible study, the Oxford Methodists began another spiritual practice that would become characteristic of the Methodist movement. They began to perform acts of mission. They started by visiting those in prison and later founded a school for poor children in the area. They supported these missions by raising funds as well as by personally devoting their time to serving others. John Wesley believed that holiness is cultivated in one's life through both inward and outward acts of devotion. Through inward acts of devotion, such as prayer and scripture reading, one can develop one's relationship with God. Through outward acts of devotion, such as bringing food to a food bank or going on a mission trip, one can fulfill Christ's call to mission to the world. Together, through these small daily and weekly actions, the Oxford Methodists began to develop their sense of holiness as individuals as they lived and served in community. John Wesley, though, understood that holiness is not simply performing acts of devotion. Holiness is also a process of inviting God to be a changing force in our lives. While attempting to live a life of holiness is daunting, we are not called to do so alone. When we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives, we are allowing God to do the heavy lifting for us. Peter finishes the scripture for today by giving us a promise. If we act, are disciplined, and obedient, Peter promises us, "You shall be holy." And we know this because God, who made us, loves us, and desires to be in relationship with us, is holy. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to do much greater things than we can even imagine, and it is with God's help that we can begin to act in more and more holy ways. While it is not often easy to guess how a historic figure would react in a modern situation, I bet you that if John Wesley had been at Cradle Beach Camp, he would have found himself standing on that field wearing a dog costume. John Wesley was a go-all-the-way type of a person who left us with an important legacy. We are Methodists. We are a people called to practice holiness through our actions. We are called not to get discouraged and to continue to forage ahead. And the really good news is that we are not in this alone. For as Peter writes, we will be holy because Christ is holy. So let us this week to challenge ourselves to go forth and fulfill the mission of the United Methodist Church, which is putting our faith into action by making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Amen and amen. I think we have a song. Thank you.
The Melodies of Compassion loose coin offering for the months of July and August will go to the United Methodist Children's Services in Milwaukee. On July 29th, a group of 21 members from Concordia will be joining volunteers in mission at UMCS in Milwaukee, including 11 members of our youth group. As we respond to God's call to serve with our hearts, let us give with the same love that we will show to others through our offering. Will the ushers please come forward?
Thank you.
Please join me in the prayer of thanksgiving on the screen above.
Holy God, you call us to be made holy. We trust in your generosity, so we are ready to be generous ourselves. Open our hearts to continue giving to the world. Bless us, yes.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite you to share any prayers that you may have this morning. I have a couple to start out with. I have a joy. I didn't introduce her at the beginning, but Carol Fields is here with us today. She came all the way from Denver to play with us. and yes. And she and Marty met on a Rhode Scholar trip in San Diego last summer. So thank you for being here with us today. we also have some sad news. Doris Litcher-Gasser passed away this week. And the memorial service will be held on Thursday, August 1st. So that's still a few weeks away. But we pray for her family, that they would know the peace of God and the strength of this community in their time of grief. Are there any other prayers that we have this morning? Yeah. We pray for Chris's sister, Marie Ramsey. This week she got laid off from her job. She's unfortunately the primary income in her household, and so we pray that she would find a job quickly so that she can continue to care for all of her loved ones.
With family and the pain and, you know, healing it.
Yes, we pray for Heather, who's in the end stages of cancer. And we know how hard it is to watch those we love leave this world. We pray that she and her family are able to have the type of healing conversations that will bring them peace in this time. And we also pray that her pain would lessen. Dean Gilding has been moved to Maplewood. Thanks, John. he's gone through a lot in the last couple weeks. When I saw him in the hospital, he was still on a feeding tube. And he's feeling very frustrated about where he's at right now. And so we pray that he would heal day by day and that he would start to be able to do more and more things because we know how frustrating it is to be trapped in a hospital or in a nursing home when one wants to be able to do one's normal daily activities. Let us pray. Awesome God, we pray that you would fill our lives anew this morning. Be with us in all our actions this week as we strive to be your holy people in mission to the world. Lord, we come to you this morning with our hearts and minds full. Help us to hear your voice in the busyness of our lives. We pray that you would walk alongside, in particular, those who we pray for today, as we know you walk alongside each and every one of us. We pray particularly for all of those who have health concerns. We pray that you would guide the hands of the doctors and nurses caring for them, that they may grow stronger day by day. We pray for all of those who are suffering from cancer. We pray that you would walk alongside them, that you would give them your peace and your comfort. Lord, we pray particularly for all of those who are in long-term care facilities or home confined. There is nothing more frustrating in life than wanting to be able to do more than you can. We pray, Lord, that you would help them find your peace in this time. And Lord, we pray particularly for those who are experiencing grief. We pray that they would know in this time that they are far from alone, that you are always with them, and that your community that we call the church always surrounds them. We pray all this as we pray the prayer you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. John Wesley once said, Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Let us go and do likewise. Amen.